Amen. We're going to continue talking about the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, all that good stuff. We are horribly persecuted. Horribly. We're not like the Apostle Paul. People are stoning us and stuff. I won't say that. It's kind of an exaggeration. But I'm saying people don't like what we're teaching a lot when we're talking about the Holy Ghost. A lot of it's ignorance. A lot of it's fear. And what we covered so far, if you didn't get that, I think Adrian posted it. There's a study, New York Times, which is not really favorable to our cause, right? I mean, they're not really, but they did cover, I believe it was University of Pennsylvania. They had a study, go back and read it. They had a study about people who spoke in tongues. And the Bible talks about their... read the scriptures, but are fruitful. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 14, and 15, it talks about our understanding is unfruitful. When we speak in tongues, it's unfruitful. So what that means is our brain is not engaged, but our spirit, man. The Bible talks about our spirit prays, but our understanding is unfruitful. So that proves the point that when we speak in tongues, the portion of the brain that focuses on language is not engaged. So that tells us that it is a supernatural activity that we're involved in when we're praying in tongues. And it is something where God bypasses our brain, because how many of you know that one of the things about speaking in tongues is you're able to bypass your understanding and God's able to do things through you. That's one key with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He can actually pray things in. A couple of Bible scholars said God can do nothing apart from us praying things in. And that's really, there's some truth to that. Because if you'll notice that God wants to be able to do things in this, but you know what, you just don't know what to pray for sometimes, right? I mean, I've been in situations like I've talked about numerous times when I've been in a car and there's a drunk person on the other side of the road and they've crossed it and I was praying the Holy Ghost at that time. And the Lord told me to slow down. I had no idea there was a drunk coming at me. No idea, right? All the religious folks would say, well, that was just his time to go. God was taking him home. There are just things in life you don't know about and you don't know you don't know, right? I mean, that's just sometimes you just don't know what you don't know. And that's so true, because you can get out here and infinite things could happen. I mean, a plane could drop on your head, all that. I don't want to cause anxiety to people, but I'm just saying there's just stuff that can happen we just don't know about, right? Your job could close down tomorrow, all these other things, and God can lead and guide you through all of those things. And I've had that happen before, where months before I've been praying and preparing to do something different, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, 3 months later, the company shuts down. So, but God knows. And the Holy Spirit knows, and He wants to get things to you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. These are some good reminders here, but we have been talking about them. But speaking in tongues is wonderful. Brother Higgins, while you're turning there, Brother Higgins said it's so true. Speaking in tongues is a gateway into the supernatural. We need the supernatural in our life. Right? Now, one way to hear from God is to read the Bible. And now, the Bible doesn't tell you what you need to do with your life, right? Like, you should start a business, you should do this, you know, where to go. It doesn't give you those things. But when you're reading the Word, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. So there's the written Word, which is what we call the Logos Word, and the Rhema Word, which is the spoken Word. So the Holy Spirit will speak to you while you're reading the Bible. He does that to me all the time. He'll speak things, right? Things that aren't in the writings here, but he'll emphasize things. He'll bring me another scripture. So if you want to hear from God, start reading your Bible more. I'll just tell you that right now, and you'll see things. I don't know how many times I've read the Bible. I was just reading Genesis here. I just started with Genesis again, and I'm reading Genesis and some other places in the New Testament. And it's like a whole other book to me again, right? Because every time I pick up the Bible, even though it's the same thing I've read before, there is something new. And even just, it's just silly. It's just something silly, but I was reading and I'm thinking out of the 12 tribes of Israel, I'm like, oh, well, they had, like, Israel, or basically it was Jacob, had a girl. I don't remember seeing that before. Just things like that. One time you're just like, we're always talking about the 12 tribes of Israel, and then they had a daughter named Dinah. So I was like, I forgot about her. So those little things you've read 1,000 times, but you go back and I forgot all about that. So, they're just those little things, and you'll see things, and how did I forget about that? How did I do those things? But there's revelation in those things, right? There's just, even when you read things like just the meanings of the Hebrew names of the 12 tribes of Israel, there's a revelation in that. So even those little things like that, you'll go through, I don't know, I'm getting off all this other stuff, but when you see lineage, go ahead and read the meanings of names. There's, in Genesis, the meanings of names in Genesis, the lineage, will spell out the pathway to Christ. The meanings of the name. It talks about the pathway to Jesus. Is that supernatural or what? I'm just telling you. The meanings of the names. So even those things like that, it tells you the meanings of names, people who were hundreds of years, generations apart, the way they named it, in there, it gives the story of Christ. You can't make that up, right? I mean, that's impossible. I mean, I like statistics. Yeah, it's boring. It's kind of a pathetic life. But anyway, it's kind of pathetic. You're like, oh, he enjoys statistics. Mr. Square Root here. But it's just statistically impossible, right? For these things to come together. It's impossible. You read things on TV or people will say things, and I'm thinking, that's statistically impossible, right? That doesn't make sense. And the Bible is statistically impossible. It just doesn't make sense. And why people are like, well, that's just not... No, because God is the impossible. And that's where he gave the Holy Spirit. Let me just say this. The Bible talks about the small things in Corinthians. He says, the Apostle Paul says that, in fact, when we're talking about this, he will do things to confound the wise. God likes doing silly things so that he can confound the wise. How many know Jesus dying on a cross, it doesn't make sense, right? Humbling himself as a little baby, because our flesh wants to come down and be, you know, Superman and just crush everybody and do all these other things. But you know what? God's ways are higher than our ways. And him coming down as a baby, as a nobody, no education, no formal anything, to come down and to destroy the works of darkness. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. I know this goes along with what we're talking about, but the King James says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Everything we talk about, the world thinks we're crazy. And that's okay. Because they don't understand. Like when you start talking about speaking in tongues to people outside, they think this is nuts. But it's wisdom for God, right? "But unto us that are saved is power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Verse 21, "For after that is the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Then he goes on and talks about more of the things about God using his own wisdom. You ever have, like, little kids? Now we're kind of, you know, my girls are getting bigger, but we're still kind of in that place where you do a thing. No, I can do it. Right? I can do it. Let me do it. And that's part of the child psychology, right? Is there's a certain time period, and you know, those of you who studied education or psychology and things like that, there's certain periods, there's like little professor stage and all these psychological stages of children. And so, you know, kids that get, and there's an independence, and that's healthy. We need, you know, children when they're little, mommy, daddy, and then we get older, you know, they become more independent, which we want to become independent, right? And to to be able to do things on their own, to be able to grow up and whatever. But during that time period, but sometimes it's hard for us to revert back to that. See, that's where the wisdom of the world is. We cut ties with mom and dad, we move on, we're, whatever that is, or, you know, whatever in life when you get older and you know, do your own thing. But the Bible is talking about, and the wisdom of a cross is, we're reverting back to dependence on him. And that's hard. That's hard on our flesh, because that goes against the grain of everything we're bred to do, right? Everything we're raised to do. Okay, you grow up, you do this, you get a job, you blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe you move out, you get your own house, you do all these other things, you become independent. And that's great. I'm not saying anything about that. But the spirit realm wants us to go back and rely on him. Because really, to be spiritual with God is to rely on him. It's that's what faith is. Faith means I'm trusting in you even though the situation looks chaotic, right? That's dependence. And that's what true faith is. It doesn't make sense, but I'm going to believe it anyway. I mean, who would have known that God would have, like Psalms in the book of Exodus, a blast of his nostrils, the Red Sea parted. God had a plan. See, Moses and the Israelites, the Hebrews, they didn't know when they got to the Red Sea that it was going to do that, but God did. See, he knows, and again, that's something where he has more wisdom than we do. Well, a lot more wisdom than I do. Brother David would take a stone and kill about a 10-foot giant, right? That just does not make sense at all. See how God will do silly things to confound and destroy the enemy because he wants glory for it. And also, too, it's all about dependence. And that's what faith is. It's dependence. And really, it's Jesus said, if we don't have faith like a child, then, you know, what good are we? It's hard. It crucifies our flesh to be able to do things. Because how many of you, you know, especially men, I mean, I'm going to throw myself under the bus, all right? You know, we just went to Kansas City yesterday on a field trip for the girls, you know. And, you know, we're driving. Adrian's like, I think you need to turn here. Oh, I know what I'm doing, right? We got this independent streak, right? So I was right. Don't tell her. But it's hard for me. I'm going to take a side. It's hard for me with that Siri or that MapQuest or whatever, you know, when it's like, turn here, turn here, turn here, end route. It's just, I don't know, something about that just grinds on me, you know. I always like the old school map. And we'll get on, Adrian and I will get into a, you know, we'll be driving somewhere a long distance or something. So, well, how far is it? I don't know. Has it told us to turn yet? I want to know how many miles up the road do I turn? Like, I want to know what it is I'm going to turn. Not just, you're going to go 200 miles on this road. Okay? That doesn't give me any picture. Because I still want to be in control when I'm driving. Because this creepy voice on the other end, I still just don't. And I know all of you do. But I still just don't have this real, yeah. Just like today we were, I digress again, but just like today, I punched in where we're supposed to go for this track meet today, and it took me to Kansas City. Wrong address, and I did like three times, and it kept wanting to take me. I'm like, this is not a 3-hour trip. This is here in Iowa. Nope. Right? So we still want, our flesh still wants to be in control, right? It's speaking in tongues. Oh, I'm going to figure it out myself. Okay, yeah. Why? Because God wants to get something to us to be able to input some things to help us along the way, and it's going to take us to humble ourselves. How many people? I remember one time Adrian and I were ministering to this guy, and he was a certain denominational denomination, And he was so hungry about speaking in tongues. And we shared all these scriptures with him. And he's like, I know it's in the scripture. I can see it. But it's like, everything I've been taught, I just can't. See, he couldn't get over his mind. His mind was, he had to be in control. And he felt like that was out of control. You know how much misconception is in regards to speaking in tongues? People are like, well, does he just take over and control me? No, you're doing the speaking. He gives you an unction. You can shut it off and turn it on anytime you want to. The Holy Spirit is not going to, you know, just go against your will and do whatever. That's the devil. The devil wants to take over, do things against your will, force you to do. He's all about slavery, and the Holy Spirit is all about empowering. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, and it says, love never fails, but there are gifts of prophecy. They will be done away with. For if there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For if we know in part and prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Guess what? When we are with Jesus, we will not need these things. I will not need wisdom and knowledge, because if I'm in heaven and my spirit is instantly connected and I don't have a flesh to deal with anymore, I'm not going to need those things anymore, because I'm in heaven, right? And eventually we're going to have a body. Our body, this big bag of dirt we're walking around in, we will have a glorified body someday. I mean, it's going to be great. You know, if the Lord tarries and we die and step over in heaven and our body's in the ground or cremated or whatever is done, your fish food or whatever that happens to be, I mean, you're going to be in heaven. It's going to be great. But you know what, God? God said, that's still my body, because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So this address that we're in right now, it belongs to God. And you know, at the end of the day, God's like, that's mine. I want it back. And I want it just the way I intended it to be. So even though it's great for us, our spirit to be in heaven with him, our spirit and our soul, so we're going to be able to, you know, have that. Someday, God wants to take the body, reconnect us, as we see in there at the end of 2 Thessalonians, right? Grandpa and grandma are going to blow out the graves, and then we're going to go after them, him and her. Because those who are dead in Christ shall rise, and then thus who are remaining will go after. I just hope it's going to be like this big drawn-out thing. You know, like the graves blow open, the trumpet blasts, and then everybody's like waving at everybody down here on the earth, you know, and it's going to be this big theatrical thing. Because we can see what we're really going to look like when Jesus, after he died, and then when he rose from the dead, and then he's like, you know, cooking there at the end of the Gospels, where he's cooking the disciples or later the apostles breakfast, and he's doing things, and he like walked through walls and does all that. That's what we're going to be like. Because Jesus is the only one that has his soul, spirit, and body all together. And we will someday too. That's cool, huh? Because you see him like walking through walls, and then, you know, everybody's, and then Thomas is freaking out because he's like, oh, this is crazy. Doubting Thomas. So he's like, well, here, touch the holes in my hands. I'm real. Jesus is the only one so far that has got the complete package. And guess what? We will too. So someday we won't need these things, but we do right now. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. I know we've read these before, but it's such a good reminder. Are we bored tonight? Did you? Do you want a pillow? I should have like a big bag, like a big laundry bag of those little airplane pillows. You know, it's like, oh, let me fluff it up. Ew, that's good. Or wait, let me recline in an airplane. It's like, ooh, that's comfortable. Right? Those, like, you're in an airplane, you go like 2 inches, and you know, that's floor climb back, and you got a pillow about this big, and you got a blanket that's the size of a dishcloth, you know. That's comfort. But John chapter 14, verse 16, I will pray the Father, this is Jesus speaking, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it does not see him or know him. Now, I want to stop there for a moment. Now, this is something we really need to get a revelation of. First of all, is the world is going to think you're crazy, and that's okay. Even other people who are in other denominations, they may think this is great, but these are words Jesus spoke. And if you got like a King James or something, this word, this is going to be in red letters. That means you can take it to the bank, right? And I got a pretty good idea. If Jesus said it, it's probably good enough for me. And it's probably good enough for you. If Jesus told us we need it, then we probably need it. Everything God tells us we need, we need. And there's so many people out there who have a lot of pride that think they know better than God. I don't really need this. I don't really need this. Oh, you do. I want all I can get, don't you? I mean, when it comes to the spirit realm and with God, I want all I can get. I want all I can get. Because let me just pause for a moment here. You ever had something where you've talked to somebody and you feel like you're just talking to the wall? Like sometimes your kids or something, and you're just, okay, all right, let me draw a picture here. picture pages. Let's get Elmo Puppet out here. Let's do something, you know, how do we get this across, right? And that's sometimes in life where you're going to have a gap between you. It's just hard. Like in Revelation, you see that John is talking about some scorpion flying through the air and killing people with its tail. Well, that may be a helicopter. I don't know. What is he seeing back then? So it's hard to understand things. When you see something, you don't understand it, but the Holy Spirit can reveal things to you where I get it. I get it now. There's this one, it's called, with little kids, psychological, it's called out of sight, out of mind. And you have puppies, they do the same thing too when you get a new puppy, all right? It's called, so you have a ball or something and you go like that and you throw it and you hide it behind your back and they're like everywhere looking for it. Because they haven't developed yet to put the two connectors together, it's behind your back. I do that with my dogs now. I throw it and they... Because they made the connection, haven't they? They understand it. Oh, okay. Now I understand you didn't throw the ball. The ball is behind your back. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He helps us connect those things where you just don't understand things or you just need help or whether it's in the Bible or in life. There are just sometimes where you feel like you've talked to people like you're blue in the face. Whether you got family members, friends, kids, dogs, whatever. You just feel like you're talking and nothing is sinking in. Hello? Remember that that old movie, Back to the Future? And the bully's like, hello, McFly. And he's knocking on his head. Well, the Holy Spirit is going to be able to open things up to you to understand and understand those things. Reveal some things to you. Whether it's in the Bible, relationship with Him, whatever that is. Let me just say this. One touch from the Holy Spirit can cinch up years of frustration. You know, this is a perfect example. I've already talked about this before, but when I was a kid, we all went to church, and my grandparents went to our church. My grandpa and grandma. My grandpa's name was Gene, Eugene. They called him Gene. And I always had a real frustration with, not frustration on God's end, but my end, because there's a lack of knowledge, and that's why teaching is so important. That's why Brother Hagin, if you have Kenneth Hagin, any of his books, grab them. They're just great. He's a really gifted teacher, and he's probably one of the best on this subject. My former pastor, and then also Brother Hagin. There's just people, they're just really gifted at this. Anyway, he did a great job, but I remember studying in one time as a kid. I was probably 11, 12, something like that, and we're sitting in the church. And now, we were a Spirit-filled church, but again, there was no teaching, so it was very frustrating. People got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it was like old-school Pentecostal is what we were, okay? And so you'd have Holy Ghost things, and people would be, I remember one time, and Brother Hagin talks about this, and this is what I experienced, but I remember the pastor on a Sunday night, because what would happen is we would have Sunday morning church, then we have Sunday night, which is more music, and then sometimes we'd have more Holy Ghost things, and then Wednesday night would be more Bible studies, and we'd have different things. But anyway, Sunday night, and then sometime after church, we would all pray, come around. Remember the altars? You know, some of those old churches we'd have. So we had altars there. And pastor came, gave an invitation for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So while I'm standing there, pastor's like, just let go, just let go. One guy's like, hold on, hold on. He's hitting my back. And I'm thinking, Brother Hagin tells the same story when he was traveling. But I was so frustrated because I didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's not hard. You can receive it. So I'd see, and the reason I wanted to was because one of the ladies that, we had different youth ministers, but one of the ladies that was in our, her and her husband were taking over the youth at that time when I was probably 12, 13. I mean, she would get up and, you know, speak in tongues and have tongues and interpretation. I'm like, that lady must just float around on clouds. You know, when you're a kid, you're just like, that lady is out there, you know? And I remember one time, she lived just kind of outside of our town, kind of out in the country. And so she had, there's like four or five of us teenagers there, and she's talking about how she had a visitation from an angel touched her face and did all that stuff. And I'm like, whoa, okay, I'm flipping out here. This is like out there, right? But I wanted all this stuff, and we were just talking about prayer, how there are just so many teens and so many youth, they want the supernatural. And so while I'm sitting, I didn't receive it, but the pastor said one time, my grandfather, he said, Gene has been trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 20 years and haven't received it. And I thought instantly, if he's been waiting 20 years to receive this, what chance do I have now? And it was just absolute faith buster. And so I just was frustrated so much. But fast forward, Adrian and I had gotten married in August of 96. I want you to ask her when we got married, okay? Because I was like, I always say, when were we married again? Let's see, it was, she always has to think about it, you know. How many years were we married again? Let me see. I was like, teased about it. So it was August of 96, we got married. And then about December, I know it was 2 months later, we started going to church, another spirit-filled church where we lived. And they're talking about, speaking in tongues and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I was really hungry for those things. And I remember, because the pastor was teaching, and he was teaching about these things, about how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's easy. You just ask, it's like being saved. You just ask the Lord to, it's confession. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. I mean, it's not hard. And we receive it. Again, I thought it was all the Holy Ghost doing his thing so that I can receive, but really it's on my end to be able to receive. Anyway, so I remember I had all this teaching, and I finally, it was really cool because the church we went to, we would have Sunday morning and then we'd have Sunday night service. In the Sunday night service, we would have like videos and we all get together. Sometimes we'd have food, we have different things. And so Sunday night, we had it at our pastor's church and went over there. I mean, I just told Adrian, I said, I'm getting it tonight. I'm getting it tonight. I know I am. And then all of a sudden, he's praying for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he laid his hands on the first person, Adrian and I, because I remember there's two rows, Adrian and I were sitting behind him. He laid hands on first person. I just, right after, just, blah, I just exploded and just started just speaking in tongues. And that experience, I had more revelation in 5 minutes than I did my whole entire life because the Holy Spirit opened my eyes on some things. And I was pretty stupid back then. So, and I didn't really know a lot. I sat in church for a long time, but I didn't know anything about these things. I could tell you about salvation and all kinds of revelation and, you know, tribulation and all this other stuff everybody was talking about. But anyway, so within 5 minutes, within a month, I had already read like half the Bible. And I remember, this just shows you, it was like a brand new book to me when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that day, I was at church with my pastor. I said, have you read the book of John? That's incredible. He's probably thinking, you chucklehead. I read it probably 200 times. But anyway, but it was exciting to me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was beginning to show things to me that when I read it before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, it just didn't click, right? Things just weren't clicking. But the Holy Spirit is going to be able to unlock some things in your life that, again, you can't unlock. And that all goes back to the dependence. Our whole life and our walk with God is about reverting back to childhood and having a dependence on Him like nobody else. And that's hard on the flesh, isn't it? Because we want to do everything ourselves, right? Oh, I've got it. I can do it all. There's a guy I used to work with. His name's Rick. You don't know him, so don't even. But his name is Rick. Kind of a big, burly guy. He's a fork truck driver, you know, and everything. I'd ask Rick something, and sometimes I did it on purpose, something I didn't want to do. I'm like, hey, Rick, how do you do this? Oh, get out of the way. Let me do it. You know, so I was like, so I tease people. I'd be training somebody or be machining or doing something or working on a program or something at work, and I'd say, watch this. Hey, Rick, how do you do this? Here, let me show you, you know. So he didn't want me to do anything. He wanted to do it. He wanted to show you. So I'm like, I'll just do it. I'll let him do it. I don't care. Let him change his tooling out and stuff, right? But there's just those people, they can't rely on other people. And that's where the Holy Spirit wants us to rely on Him. Jesus said, there's another person you need to rely on. He's going to be a helper, guide, intercessor. He's going to comforter. All of these things wrapped up in one, and you need to rely on Him. Because there's a ministry, He's going to be an extension to me. So, speaking in tongues, and it's a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's a blessing from the Holy Spirit. And I encourage all of you, not baptized in the Holy Spirit, let's pray for you, because it's really easy. But it's very important that we increase. I'm trying to increase more time in praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because one thing is, I want to see more miracles. I want to see more revelation for people. I want to see things, people in this church experience things on a greater level. And it doesn't mean that we're running around, bumping into walls, all glossy-eyed and, you know, all weird and stuff. But what it means is this, we're able to have a revelation on things. For example, wouldn't it be nice to know what your kids are called to do? Right? Wouldn't it be nice for the Holy Spirit to reveal things about your kids, maybe the needs that they have and some gifts in them? I mean, think about it. You know, when you have a kid, and like our, like Molly and Kate came along, and I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with these guys? We had two just like that. It was like, that was a horrible first 2 weeks. I mean, I was glad to have them, but it was like, help me, Jesus, right? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. You know, He's there to help us with our kids, with our job, whatever it is that we were doing, whatever is we need in life, He's going to help us. He's going to give us revelation. There'll be sometimes I'll be thinking, okay, because I remember I had those frustrating times with kids or people, you know, and you're like, I just want to split their head up right now, but God, I need to know the answer, right? Because sometimes you can say something, but it's, you got to be Holy Ghost led to know the right thing and when to say it. That's wisdom. Because you know how they're going to react. I mean, you know the other person. But there's just some times where you just have to be really led by the Holy Spirit. Think, okay, I need help here. There's a situation I'm not sure about. And the Holy Spirit will often give me or Adrian or sometimes we'll have things where just like, we just need to let this go. Or sometimes this is how we're going to handle it. Because believe it or not, you know, when you know you brought those kids home from the hospital, there's not a manual, you know. There's not a return policy. Right? There's not a reset or what's that thing in computers where you clear it and reset it? That those things just don't happen. The Holy Spirit is going to be able to help you with no matter what you're doing. There's been times at work where if I'm working with someone or doing something, I have to look in the inside and I go, okay, how am I going to handle this? Should I say something or should I not? See, because the Holy Spirit is going to help you with all the objectives. There's just this endless thing. Should I report? Should I talk to somebody? Should I bring this up? Should I? Got it checked on the inside. But if we're going to just do it ourselves, and I made a mess of things before, even though all of you have done everything perfect, right? We need the Holy Ghost. So we're praying in the Holy Ghost. We're doing, we are, I'm going to read more scripture here. Then we'll close here. Maybe, I don't know. Let's just see how it goes. 1 Corinthians. Actually, I'm not going to go there. There's another scripture I'm thinking about. A couple of them I'm thinking about here really quick. And you know the amazing thing is, too, while I'm preaching, when I pray often, and this is funny, how I will have people that will come up to me after a sermon, and they will talk about, man, when you were talking about this, God just opened it up. I'm thinking, I never even mentioned anything like that. Like, there just sometimes people will say, you know, it's just amazing. You were talking about this. I'm thinking, I didn't even mention the devil. But somehow, you have revelation of how to, you know, fight the devil or whatever it is. And I'll have people multiple times that come, you know what? While I'm preaching, God will reveal things to you that may not even be pertinent to what we're talking about. See, that's the Holy Ghost. He'll help you with things that may not even be part of this subject. And again, it's all Holy Ghost driven. There was one scripture here, I'm sorry. I'm looking for. Actually, a couple of them. But it's good to read it. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity, which is, means love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So I want to stop there for a moment. And everything the Holy Spirit is going to do is going to be word-based. It's going to be out of love. And it's not going to be weird. Because too many people use the stereotypical spirit-filled stuff. They see weird. You ever see this stuff on YouTube and you look up anything and then they get somebody's got to splice together the weirdest services ever, right? The weirdest people. And they take all the fringes of all the weird stuff and they put it in. No, it is a joy to walk in the Holy Spirit. It's a joy to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's a joy to pray in the Spirit. It goes on here, says verse 2, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. So we're praying directly to God. We've got that direct line to God when we're praying the Holy Spirit. We are fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. And we're praying out mysteries that we don't know about. Because, can I just say this? When you get to, I just remember as a kid, I'd sit there and pray. And on Sunday night, we'd have that, be around that altar. And people would be praying. And how many of you know about 5 minutes you run out of stuff to pray for, right? I would be praying for grandpa and grandma and mom and dad and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Fluffy the cat and this and that. And then you know what? You run out of stuff to pray in about 5 minutes, right? Oh, God, help the president. Oh, God, help the government. Oh, God, help our governor. Oh, God, blah, 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 blah. And then you run out of stuff, right? Guess what? When you're praying the Holy Ghost, you're praying endless amount of stuff. There is no end to the stuff you're praying out. And you're praying out mysteries of God. And you're praying out what? The perfect will of God. Why? Because it comes from the Holy Spirit. And I'm pretty sure the Holy Spirit isn't missing the mark. So if we know that our prayer language is coming directly from heaven, it's directly from the Holy Spirit, it's directly to God, it is a perfect prayer. You know, when we're praying in the natural, I'm pretty sure God's going, ooh, ooh. But when you're praying Holy Ghost, you're like, yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, that came from me. That's perfect. The Holy Spirit is giving us perfect prayer language, praying out perfect things to pray out. And that's why the devil hates it so much. Verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're building yourself up. You're edifying. That's building yourself up. That word means to build yourself up. However, sometimes you get off work or you're monkeying around with kids or you're doing this or doing that. And then, you know, at night, you just want to collapse in bed. You want to know how to build yourself? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. But he that prophesied edifieth the church. You can read 1 Corinthians 13, 14, and 15, all kinds of great stuff about speaking in tongues. But I'm telling you what, if you want things to change, if you want to see the supernatural in your life, God doing things, begin to speak in tongues. Begin to pray in tongues. Begin to do those things and watch the Holy Spirit do things in your life. Again, I didn't have any supernatural experiences until I started praying in tongues. And that's why the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, that's why the disciples, the apostles in Acts chapter, Acts the second chapter, everything began to take off when they spoke in tongues. Change people. You've got Peter who is denying Jesus three times. Now he's in the streets, gets 3,000 people saved in the book of Acts, the second chapter. Supernatural things happening. Why? And if Jesus needs the Holy Spirit to descend upon him like a dove, there when John the Baptist, his cousin, baptized him in water and the Holy Spirit came upon him, empowered him, and he commanded us to do it, we need that. Because, let me just say this, Christianity isn't really Christianity until we have born again. We need to be water baptized because there is a spiritual element to that too. And we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus commanded us, it's a package deal. And sometimes we want to kind of dissect things. But you'll see in the Bible, in the book of Acts, several times, right when they were born again, the disciples or the apostles came in and got people baptized in the Holy Spirit right away. It should be every Christian should have this. And in fact, statistically speaking, Protestants, there are more people overseas outside of the United States that pray in tongues and they're spirit-filled that aren't. So, you know, sometimes they're like, well, this is kind of a minority thing or whatever. No, it's not. You know, the interesting thing, I can be, this is crazy. I've been in, and I've had friends of mine that have been in the depths of Africa, like I've been in some of the really remote places, and all of a sudden they'll be somewhere and there's a Kenneth Hagin book in the middle of nowhere, right? You know how many times we even send flats, just these great big flats. Sometimes I was worked for Faith Library Publication for Kenneth Hagin, and I was in charge of international sales when I was there, and we would load up like pallets, three or four pallets like this big to Nigeria, or just one country, we would have just enormous pallets. People in Africa are hungry for this stuff. And there are people all over the world that just have such a hunger for the Holy Spirit and want this, and they operate in it, pray in tongues, amazing things happening, and I believe we're going to see more things here. Amen? Because, you know, when you see, you know, and Adrian and I have been places, we'll pray in the Holy Ghost, and we've been street ministering to people in the streets or something, and we'll get something for somebody, and while we're praying the Holy Ghost, kind of under our breath, you know, we've been praying extended times of prayer before we go out and minister to people, you know, we'll be sitting there, and the Holy Spirit will give us something, a word. I mean, you can't imagine what we've had before. I remember one time we were in New Orleans, and Adrian had something, and she was speaking to this guy about, she had a word of wisdom, word of knowledge about this guy, and he pulled it out, paper, out of his back pocket. And it was every single thing down to the letter of what she just said. See, God needs to reach people. And sometimes it's just going to take something supernatural to yank somebody's chain. Just to get them out of their comfort zone or give them some kind of piece of hope or some kind of confirmation that God is real and he wants to connect with people and he loves people. That's it. He loves people. And you know what? You know, too many times people, they, especially the denominational folks, they always hang on 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and all this other, well, it's, you know, he gave gifts, only some gave some gifts. Let me tell you, the nine gifts of the Spirit, almost all of them I'd operated in before I became a pastor. There is nothing in there that says you can't have a gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, special faith, any of that stuff. It's for you, believers, all of us. Father, we just thank you so much tonight for these precious people, Lord. God, I pray for a hunger for the Holy Spirit to be able to live on a greater level with you, have a greater level of joy with you, Lord, greater relationship with you. We need you, Lord. We need your Holy Ghost. We need your ministry. We appreciate your ministry. We love you. And we are never, ever in this church going to want to grieve the Holy Spirit. But we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome your ministry. We welcome your gifts and your fruits to be manifest in this church and among these people, Lord God, so we can live on a greater, greater revelation of you and a greater and a deeper understanding of you, Lord. So not that knowledge puffs up, but Lord, we have revelation and we walk in love and we use it in love, Lord God, towards people. Father, we just thank you so much for this night, your people, and your presence, Lord. We glorify you in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, have a great week, everybody.